The Complete Works of Winnie the Pooh. The immortal stories from the books Winnie the Pooh and The House at Pooh Corner, and poems from When We Were Very Young and Now We Are Six by Alan Alexander Milne. Presented for radio, unabridged, in 18 parts. Produced by Christopher Toyne and performed by Peter Dennis. Part 11, in which a search is organized and Piglet nearly meets the Heffalump again.
In which a search is organized and Piglet nearly meets the Heffalump again. Pooh was sitting in his house one day, counting his pots of honey, when there came a knock on the door.
14, said Pooh. Come in. 14. Or was it 15? Bother, that's muddled me.
Hello, Pooh, said Rabbit.
Hello, Rabbit. 14, wasn't it?
What was?
My pots of honey, what I was counting.
14, that's right.
Are you sure?
No, said Rabbit. Does it matter?
I'd just like to know, said Pooh humbly, so as I can say to myself, I've got 14 pots of honey left. Or 15, as the case may be. It's sort of comforting.
Well, let's call it 16, said Rabbit. What I came to say was, have you seen Small anywhere about?
I don't think so, said Pooh.
And then after thinking a little more, he said,
Who is Small?
One of my friends and relations, said Rabbit carelessly. This didn't help Pooh much, because Rabbit had so many friends and relations, and of such different sorts and sizes, that he didn't know whether he ought to be looking for Small at the top of an oak tree or in the petal of a buttercup.
I haven't seen anybody today, said Pooh, not so as to say, Hello, Small, to. Did you want him for anything?
I don't want him, said Rabbit, but it's always useful to know where a friend and relation is, whether you want him or whether you don't.
Oh, I see, said Pooh. Is he lost?
Well, said Rabbit, nobody has seen him for a long time, so I suppose he is. Anyhow, he went on importantly, I promised Christopher Robin I'd organize a search for him, so come on. Pooh said goodbye affectionately to his 14 pots of honey and hoped they were 15, and he and Rabbit went out into the forest. Now, said Rabbit, this is a search, and I've organized it.
Done what to it?
Said Pooh. Organized it. Which means, well, it's what you do to a search when you don't all look in the same place at once. So I want you, Pooh, to search by the 6 pine trees first and then work your way towards Owl's house and look out for me there. Do you see?
No, said Pooh. What?
Then I'll see you at Owl's house in about an hour's time.
Is Piglet organized too?
We all are, said Rabbit, and off they went.
As soon as Rabbit was out of sight, Pooh remembered that he had forgotten to ask who Small was, and whether he was the sort of friend and relation who settled on one's nose, or the sort who got trodden on by mistake. And as it was too late now, he thought he would begin the hunt by looking for Piglet, and asking him what they were looking for before he looked for it.
And it's no good looking at the 6 pine trees for Piglet, said Pooh to himself, because he's been organized in a special place of his own, so I shall have to look for the special place first. I wonder where it is.
And he wrote it down in his head like this. Order of looking for things. 1, special place, to find Piglet. 2, Piglet, to find who Small is. 3, Small, to find Small. 4, Rabbit, to tell him I found Small. 5, Small again, to tell him I found Rabbit.
Which makes it look like a bothering sort of day,
thought Pooh as he stumped along. The next moment, the day became very bothering indeed, because Pooh was so busy not looking where he was going that he stepped on a piece of the forest which had been left out by mistake. And he only just had time to think to himself, I'm flying, what owl does, I wonder how you stop. When he stopped, bump!
Ow!
Squeaked something.
That's funny, thought Pooh. I said ow without really ooing.
Help!
Said a small, high voice.
That's me again, thought Pooh. I've had an accident and fallen down a well, and my voice has gone all squeaky and works before I'm ready for it, because I've done something to myself inside. Bother!
Help! Help!
There you are. I say things when I'm not trying, so it must be a very bad accident.
And then he thought that perhaps when he did try to say things, he wouldn't be able to. So, to make sure, he said loudly,
A very bad accident to Pooh Bear!
Pooh!
Squeaked the voice.
It's Piglet!
Cried Pooh eagerly. Where are you?
Underneath!
Said Piglet in an underneath sort of way.
Underneath what?
You!
Squeaked Piglet.
Get up!
Oh!
Said Pooh and scrambled up as quickly as he could.
Did I fall on you, Piglet?
You fell on me,
said Piglet, feeling himself all over.
I didn't mean to,
said Pooh sorrowfully.
I didn't mean to be underneath,
said Piglet sadly.
But I'm all right now, Pooh, and I am so glad it was you.
What's happened? Said Pooh. Where are we?
I think we're in a sort of pit. I was walking along, looking for somebody, and then suddenly I wasn't anymore. And just when I got up to see where I was, something fell on me, and it was you.
So it was, said Pooh.
Yes,
said Piglet.
Pooh,
he went on nervously and came a little closer.
Do you think we're in a trap?
Pooh hadn't thought about it at all, but now he nodded. For suddenly he remembered how he and Piglet had once made a poo trap for heffalumps, and he guessed what had happened. He and Piglet had fallen into a heffalump trap for poos. That was what it was.
What happens when the heffalump comes?
Asked Piglet tremblingly when he had heard the news.
Perhaps he won't notice you, Piglet,
said Pooh encouragingly,
because you're a very small animal.
But he'll notice you, Pooh.
He'll notice me, and I shall notice him, said Pooh, thinking it out. We'll notice each other for a long time, and then he'll say, Ho, ho.
Piglet shivered a little at the thought of that. Ho, ho. And his ears began to twitch.
What will you say?
He asked. Pooh tried to think of something he would say, but the more he thought, the more he felt that there is no real answer to ho, ho, said by a heffalump in the sort of voice this heffalump was going to say it in.
I shan't say anything, said Pooh at last. I shall just hum to myself as if I was waiting for something.
Then perhaps he'll say ho, ho, again,
suggested Piglet anxiously.
He will,
said Pooh. Piglet's ears twitched so quickly that he had to lean them against the side of the trap to keep them quiet.
He will say it again, said Pooh, and I shall go on humming, and that will upset him, because when you say ho, ho twice in a gloating sort of way, and the other person only hums, you suddenly find, just as you begin to say it the third time, you find...
What?
That it isn't, said Pooh.
Isn't what?
Pooh knew what he meant, but being a bear of very little brain, couldn't think of the words.
Well, it just isn't, he said again.
You mean it isn't ho-ho-ish anymore,
said Piglet hopefully. Pooh looked at him admiringly and said that that was what he meant. If you went on humming all the time because you couldn't go on saying ho-ho forever.
But he'll say something else,
said Piglet.
That's just it. He'll say, what's all this? And then I shall say, and this is a very good idea, Piglet, which I've just thought of, I shall say, it's a trap for a heffalump which I've made, and I'm waiting for the heffalump to fall in, and I shall go on humming. That will unsettle him.
Pooh,
cried Piglet, and now it was his turn to be the admiring one.
You've saved us.
Have I?
Said Pooh, not feeling quite sure. But Piglet was quite sure, and his mind ran on, and he saw Pooh and the Heffalump talking to each other, and he thought suddenly, and a little sadly, that it would have been rather nice if it had been Piglet and the Heffalump talking so grandly to each other, and not Pooh, much as he loved Pooh, because he really had more brain than Pooh, and the conversation would go better if he, and not Pooh, were doing one side of it. And it would be comforting afterwards in the evenings to look back on the day when he answered a Heffalump back as bravely as if the Heffalump wasn't there. It seemed so easy now. He knew just what he would say. Heffalump, gloatingly.
Ho, ho!
Piglet, carelessly.
Tra-la-la, tra-la-la.
Heffalump, surprised and not quite so sure of himself.
Ho, ho!
Piglet, more carelessly still.
Tiddle-dum-tum, tiddle-dum-tum.
Heffalump, beginning to say ho-ho and turning it awkwardly into a cough.
What's all this?
Piglet, surprised.
Hello. This is a trap I've made and I'm waiting for a Heffalump to fall into it.
Heffalump, greatly disappointed.
Oh.
After a long silence.
Are you sure?
Piglet, yes.
Heffalump.
Oh.
Nervously.
I thought it was a trap I'd made to catch piglets.
Piglet, surprised.
Oh, no.
Heffalump.
Oh.
Apologetically.
I must have got it wrong, then.
Piglet.
I'm afraid so.
Politely.
I'm sorry.
He goes on humming. Heffalump.
Well, I suppose I'd better be getting back.
Piglet, looking up carelessly.
Must you? Well, if you see Christopher Robin anywhere, you might tell him I want him.
Heffalump, eager to please.
Certainly, certainly.
He hurries off. Pooh, who wasn't going to be there, but we find we can't do without him.
Oh, Piglet, how brave and clever you are.
Piglet, modestly.
Not at all, Pooh.
And then, when Christopher Robin comes, Pooh can tell him all about it. While Piglet was dreaming this happy dream, and Pooh was wondering again whether it was 14 or 15, the search for Small was still going on all over the forest. Small's real name was Very Small Beetle, but he was called Small for short when he was spoken to at all, which hardly ever happened except when somebody said, "Really Small." He had been staying with Christopher Robin for a few seconds, and he had started round a gorse bush for exercise, but instead of coming back the other way as expected, he hadn't, so nobody knew where he was. "I expect he's just gone home," said Christopher Robin to Rabbit.
"Did he say goodbye and thank you for a nice time?" said Rabbit.
"He'd only just said, how do you do?" said Christopher Robin.
"Ha!"
said Rabbit. After thinking a little, he went on,
"Has he written a letter saying how much he enjoyed himself and how sorry he was he had to go so suddenly?"
Christopher Robin didn't think he had.
"Ha!"
said Rabbit again, and he looked very important.
"This is serious. He is lost. We must begin the search at once."
Christopher Robin, who was thinking of something else, said, "Where's Pooh?" But Rabbit had gone. So he went into his house and drew a picture of Pooh going for a long walk at about 7 o'clock in the morning. And then he climbed to the top of his tree and climbed down again. And then he wondered what Pooh was doing and went across the forest to see. It was not long before he came to the gravel pit, and he looked down. And there were Pooh and Piglet with their backs to him, dreaming happily.
"Ho, ho!"
said Christopher Robin loudly and suddenly.
Piglet jumped 6 inches in the air with surprise and anxiety.
But Pooh went on dreaming.
"It's the Heffalump,"
thought Piglet nervously.
"Now then."
He hummed in his throat a little so that none of the words should stick,
and then, in the most delightfully easy way, he said, "Tra-la-la, tra-la-la," as if he had just thought of it. But he didn't look round, because if you look round and see a very fierce heifer lump looking down at you, sometimes you forget what you were going to say.
"Rum-tum-tum-tee-lum,"
said Christopher Robin in a voice like Pooh's, because Pooh had once invented a song which went,
"Tra-la-la, tra-la-la, 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 rum-tum-tum-tee-lum."
So whenever Christopher Robin sings it, he always sings it in a Pooh voice, which seems to suit it better.
"He said the wrong thing,"
thought Piglet anxiously.
"He ought to have said ho-ho again. Perhaps I had better say it for him."
And as fiercely as he could, Piglet said,
"Ho-ho!"
"How did you get there, Piglet?" said Christopher Robin in his ordinary voice.
"This is terrible,"
thought Piglet.
"First he talks in Pooh's voice, then he talks in Christopher Robin's voice, and he's doing it so as to unsettle me."
And being now completely unsettled, he said very quickly and squeakily,
"This is a trap for Pooh's, and I'm waiting to fall in it, ho-ho. What's all this?" And then I say ho-ho again.
"What?" said Christopher Robin.
"A trap for ho-ho's,"
said Piglet huskily.
"I've just made it, and I'm waiting for the ho-ho to come-come."
How long Piglet would have gone on like this, I don't know. But at that moment, Pooh woke up suddenly and decided that it was 16. So he got up. And as he turned his head so as to soothe himself in that awkward place in the middle of the back where something was tickling him, he saw Christopher Robin.
"Hello!"
he shouted joyfully.
"Hello, Pooh!"
Piglet looked up and looked away again. And he felt so foolish and uncomfortable that he had almost decided to run away to sea and be a sailor when suddenly he saw something.
"Pooh!"
he cried.
"There's something climbing up your back."
"I thought there was,"
said Pooh.
"It's small,"
cried Piglet.
"Oh, that's who it is it?"
said Pooh.
"Christopher Robin, I found small,"
cried Piglet. "Well done, Piglet," said Christopher Robin. And at these encouraging words, Piglet felt quite happy again and decided not to be a sailor after all. So when Christopher Robin had helped them out of the gravel pit, they all went off together, hand in hand. And 2 days later, Rabbit happened to meet Eeyore in the forest.
"Hello, Eeyore," he said. "What are you looking for?"
"Small, of course,"
said Eeyore.
"Haven't you any brain?"
"Oh, but didn't I tell you?" said Rabbit. "Small was found 2 days ago."
There was a moment's silence.
"Ha, ha,"
said Eeyore bitterly.
"Merriment and what not. Don't apologize. It's just what would happen."
Before tea, Emmeline has not been seen for more than a week. She slipped between the two tall trees at the end of the green. We all went after her. "Emmeline! Emmeline! I didn't mean, I only said that your hands weren't clean." We went to the trees at the end of the green, but Emmeline was not to be seen. Emmeline came slipping between the two tall trees at the end of the green. We all ran up to her. "Emmeline, where have you been? Where have you been? Why, it's more than a week." And Emmeline said, "Sillies, I went and saw the Queen. She says my hands are perfectly clean." Bad Sir Brian Botany. Sir Brian had a battle axe with great big knobs on. He went among the villagers and blipped them on the head. On Wednesday and on Saturday, but mostly on the latter day, he called at all the cottages, and this is what he said. "I am Sir Brian." "Ting-ling." "I am Sir Brian." "Rat-tat." "I am Sir Brian, as bold as a lion. Take that, and that, and that." Sir Brian had a pair of boots with great big spurs on, a fighting pair of which he was particularly fond. On Tuesday and on Friday, just to make the street look tidy, he'd collect the passing villagers and kick them in the pond. I am Sir Brian Spelash! I am Sir Brian Spelosh! I am Sir Brian as bold as a lion. Is anyone else for a wash? Sir Brian woke one morning and he couldn't find his battle axe. He walked into the village in his second pair of boots. He had gone 100 paces when the street was full of faces, and the villagers were round him with ironical salutes.
You are Sir Brian? Indeed. You are Sir Brian? Dear, dear. You are Sir Brian as bold as a lion? Delighted to meet you here.
Sir Brian went a journey, and he found a lot of duckweed. They pulled him out and dried him, and they blipped him on the head. They took him by the breeches, and they hurled him into ditches, and they pushed him under waterfalls, and this is what they said.
You are Sir Brian? Don't laugh. You are Sir Brian? Don't cry. You are Sir Brian as bold as a lion? Sir Brian the lion? Goodbye.
Sir Brian struggled home again and chopped up his battle axe. Sir Brian took his fighting boots and threw them in the fire. He is quite a different person now. He hasn't got his spurs on. And he goes about the village as B. Botany, Esquire. I am Sir Brian. Oh, no. I am Sir Brian. Who's he? I haven't got any title. I'm Botany. Plain Mr. Botany. B.
How long does getting thin take?
Asked Pooh anxiously. About a week, I should think.
But I can't stay here for a week.
You can stay here, all right, silly old bear. It's getting you out which is so difficult. We'll read to you, said Rabbit cheerfully. And I hope it won't snow, he added. And I say, old fellow, you're taking up a good deal of room in my house. Do you mind if I use your back legs as a towel horse? Because, I mean, there they are, doing nothing, and it would be very convenient just to hang the towels on them.
A week?
Said Pooh gloomily.
What about meals?
I'm afraid no meals, said Christopher Robin, because of getting thin quicker. But we will read to you.
Bear began to sigh. And then found that he couldn't because he was so tightly stuck. And a tear rolled down his eye as he said, Then would you read a sustaining book, such as would help and comfort a wedged bear in great tightness?
So for a week Christopher Robin read that sort of book at the north end of Pooh, and Rabbit hung his washing on the south end. And in between, Bear felt himself getting slenderer and slenderer. And at the end of the week, Christopher Robin said, Now! So he took hold of Pooh's front paws, and Rabbit took hold of Christopher Robin, and all Rabbit's friends and relations took hold of Rabbit, and then they all pulled together, and for a long time Pooh only said, Ow! And, Ooh! And then all of a sudden he said, just as if a cork were coming out of a bottle. And Christopher Robin and Rabbit and all Rabbit's friends and relations went head over heels backwards, and on the top of them came Winnie the Pooh, free. The Christening. What shall I call my dear little Dormouse? His eyes are small, but his tail is enormous. I sometimes call him Terrible John, 'cause his tail goes on and on and on. And I sometimes call him Terrible Jack, 'cause his tail goes on to the end of his back. And I sometimes call him Terrible James, 'cause he says he likes me calling him names. But I think I shall call him Jim, 'cause I am so fond of him.
Nursery chairs. One of the chairs is South America. One of the chairs is a ship at sea. One is a cage for a great big lion, and one is a chair for me. The first chair. When I go up the Amazon, I stop at night and fire a gun to call my faithful band, and Indians in twos and threes come silently between the trees and wait for me to land. And if I do not want to play with any Indians today, I simply wave my hand, and then they turn and go away. They always understand. The second chair. I'm a great big lion in my cage, and I often frighten Nanny with a roar. Then I hold her very tight and tell her not to be so frightened, and she doesn't be so frightened any more. The third chair. When I am in my ship, I see the other ships go sailing by. A sailor leans and calls to me as his tall ship goes sailing by. Across the sea he leans to me. Above the winds I hear him cry, "Is this the way to round the world?" He calls as he goes by. The fourth chair. Whenever I sit in a high chair for breakfast or dinner or tea, I try to pretend that it's my chair and that I am a baby of three. Shall I go off to South America? Shall I put out in my ship to sea? Or get in my cage and be lions and tigers? Or shall I be only me? Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it. I'm not at the bottom, I'm not at the top. So this is the stair where I always stop. Halfway up the stairs isn't up and isn't down. It isn't in the nursery, it isn't in the town. And all sorts of funny thoughts run round my head. It isn't really anywhere. It's somewhere else instead.
The complete works of Winnie the Pooh, performed by Peter Dennis, based on the stage show Bother. Music composed and conducted by Don Davis. Piano played by Gloria Chang and clarinet by Charles Boito. Production recorded and mixed by Jeff Sykes at KCRW Santa Monica. Executive producer Jacqueline Delorier. Radio production directed by Christopher Toyne. A co-production of KCRW and Bother LA Production.
You've just heard the complete works of Winnie the Pooh on ICANN HD2 and ICANNRadio.org. Unabridged recordings of the four Winnie the Pooh books can be found at downpour.com or by calling 1-855-369-6768.
You're listening to ICANN. Join us every day at this time for the complete works of Winnie the Pooh. That was In Which a Search is Organized and Piglet Nearly Meets a Heffalump Again. Tune in tomorrow at the same time for In Which It is Shown That Tigger Don't Climb Trees.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICANN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICANN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.
Coming up next is Maestro Classics' version of Peter and the Wolf. This is the tune of Peter. We're listening to string instruments, including a violin, viola, cello, and double bass. In Peter and the Wolf, Rather than pictures, we hear sounds to show what the characters look like in our minds. Peter is the strings. Soon you'll find out what the other characters sound like. This is the story of Peter and the Wolf, written by Russian composer Sergei Prokofiev.
Early one